أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 20 of Surah A'raf. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فوسوس لهم الشيطان ليبدي لهما ما وري عنهما من سوآتهما وقال ما نهاكما ربكما عن هذه الشجرة إلا أن تكونا ملكين أو تكونا من الخالدين. Then Shaitan tempted them to expose to them what was hidden from them of their nakedness. And he said, Your Lord has only forbidden you from this tree, lest you should become angels, or lest you become immortals. Waswasa, as we briefly mentioned last week, is a sort of call which usually comes in a hidden way. So it's dua on bidharbin min al-khafa, a call which comes in a hidden way. So it is a sort of temptation. So waswasa lahuma shaitan, shaitan tempted them, called them in a subtle way that they even themselves didn't understand how they were taken towards it. One very interesting thing which we can see in the verse is the pronoun of huma, which is repeated everywhere. Waswasa lahuma. Shaitan tempted both of them. And liyubdiya lahuma, to expose to both of them. And qala ma nahakuma. He told them that Allah has not forbidden both of you. So you see, it's all a temptation coming at the same time to Adam and Eve, alayhi as-salam, together. So it's not something which comes through one of them and then dragging the other with itself. Of course, we know in biblical version and in some of our traditions, it says that it came through Hawa. This is wrong. And if we say it came through Adam, that's wrong as well. Both of them were tempted together. And this zamir, which is repeated here several times, is emphasizing the fact. Now, the waswasa was to eat from that tree, which they were forbidden. And the result, the immediate result, was لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا, to expose to them what was hidden from them, from their سَوْآه. Now, سَوْآه could be nakedness, but also it may have a more subtle meaning as well. Now, سَوْآه is anything which is unpleasant to reveal, to expose. Anything which is unpleasant to expose is sawa. And that's why private parts also are called sawa. And here it says, لَيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. Their nakedness, so to speak, as it's translated here, was not exposed to them. And it became exposed because it was a sawa for them. However, more subtle meaning of sawa may be the, as we said last week, the dark side of their human nature, which was really hidden and which is unpleasant to reveal. Now, all of us as human beings, we have a side which is unpleasant for us to be exposed or to be manifested, to be realized. So, for example, we have jealousy. We don't like that jealousy to be exposed or to be realized. We have many evil qualities in ourselves that we do not like to be exposed, in a sense that even if we have them, we want to cover them, or to be realized, that to be activated, In some of us, we may have a very good akhlaq. These things may not have been activated at all, and we don't like it to be activated, and by activation then it will become manifest. So sawa has a more general meaning that just private parts, which is usually mentioned here. However, the first thing that they realized was that they needed to cover themselves, something that previously they were completely unaware of. So لَيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوَاتِهِمَا. Lam here may have two meanings. So that, here one meaning of lam, لَيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا, one meaning of lam is sababiyya. So that, to the effect that he did this so that he would expose their sawa. In that case, sawa should have a more general meaning. Shaitan, actually, what shaitan wants, and this is what he has promised, and this is what he has taken a pledge before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I will, bi'izzatika, I will lead them astray, and I will show that they have evil parts, evil sides, as I have evil sides, and of course, he exposed it very clearly. So, if we take lam to be for sabab, then why shaitan did this? He wanted the dark side of human being to be exposed and to prove his point to God. If we take this lam for aqibah, that means that eventual outcome would be, although the cause for something, for doing something is not that, but the eventual outcome is that. We have other verses in the Quran in which lam is used in that sense, which although people don't want to do something for that reason, but eventually the outcome will be something which is mentioned in the verse. Now here, they ate from the tree. The motive of shaitan was not to show their nakedness, but what eventually happened is that they felt their nakedness. Why? Because they became aware of the dark side of their nature, and then they became aware of many different things which comes into relation of human beings, and the eventuality of eating from that tree was that their nakedness became exposed to them. Now, how did shaitan do it? How did the waswasa come? قَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Now, in Arabic grammar, هَذَا is to allude to something which is very near. And ذَلِك, something which alludes to far away things. And هَذِهِ is for feminine, تِلْكَ is for feminine as well. So هَذَا and هَذِهِ, ذَلِكَ and تِلْكَ. Now here it says, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Your Lord has not forbidden you from this tree. هَذِهِ alludes to something which is very close. That shows that Shaitan and Adam and Eve came to the tree. They were present very close to the tree, and Shaitan started to talk to them. Now, compare this with what is mentioned in the next verse, which Allah talks to Adam and Eve and says, "Alam anhakuma," again kuma for two people, "Alam anhakuma antilkuma shajara." Did I not forbid you from that tree? Now this is alluding to the far. That means Allah, either because Allah is now farther away from Adam and Eve because of what they did, or because now they are away from the tree, this telkuma is used. Hadhihi here, I emphasize it for one reason, and that is Shaitan was present with them when they were eating from that tree. So, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ Your Lord has only forbidden you from this tree إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ Now, why Shaitan says that? Because, as I mentioned last week, apparently Shaitan told them that there is a tree in this garden which is the tree of eternality. If you eat from that, you will become eternal. And you never die. You become like angels. And of course, they were not listening. After a while, they were convinced to go and see what tree it was. And when he took them to that tree, they saw that it is exactly the tree that God has forbidden them to eat from. And therefore, they said that this is the tree that we are not allowed to eat from. And then he said, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ Yes, your Lord has forbidden you from this tree, so that such and such. So, they were present, they came to the tree, they saw, they realized exactly what sort of tree it was, they shouldn't have eaten from it, and he started to somehow do his waswasa, showing that he wants their khair, although he was hiding the evil intention, and he told them that, yes, of course, your Lord has forbidden you so that you do not become two angels. Now, this illa an takuna malakain has been explained in two ways. Sayyid Murtaza, rahmatullah alayhi, who was the brother of Sayyid Razi, the author of Nahjul Balagha, and Shaykh Tusi in Tafsir Tabiyan have actually taken a completely different explanation, used a different explanation than other exegetes. They say that illa an takuna malakain aw takuna min al-khalidin means that Shaytan told them, your Lord has not forbidden you, has forbidden you from this tree if you were two angels or if you were immortals. So illa an takuna malakain aw takuna min al-khalidin means that yes, of course, Allah has forbidden anyone who is an angel and anyone who is an immortal to eat from this tree. This is very strange. I mean, it's very difficult to accept the way the context is placed here to accept this type of explanation. Other exegetes have said, no, he told them, Allah has forbidden you so that you do not become two angels and so that you do not become immortals. Now, what is the way Shaitan actually penetrated the heart of Adam and Eve? He told them that, look, this is not Nahyu Azimah. This is not that Allah really, really don't want you to do it. He thinks that he has created you as human beings. It's not good yet that you turn into angels. He wants you to die and then to be resurrected. So it's not good that you become immortals. So he doesn't want you to become immortal. He doesn't want you to become angels. And that's why he has told you not to eat from this tree. Now, if you eat from this tree, nothing will happen. You just become angels and you become immortals. Now, you may say, why Adam and Eve were tempted to become angels? What was the quality of angels that attracted them? Well, of course, certainly they had known angels. Otherwise, Shaitan wouldn't have talked in that way. They had seen angels. They had seen their qualities. So they were tempted to become like angels. Were the angels superior to human beings? Were the angels superior to Adam and Eve? Were they not aware that angels actually had prostrated to them? So what was the cause that they thought that it is good to become angels? And that's the way for it. And so let's try it. Maybe the only thing which attracted them to transform from a human being to an angel was that idea of immortality. And that's what specifically Shaitan mentions. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنَ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ You become immortals. Or even if you are not turned into angels, you turn into something else which will be immortal. So it was that idea of immortality which tempted Adam and Eve to follow Shaitan. They did not want, of course, to listen to him if they thought that this is going to cause the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he somehow showed to them, made the whole thing to them to appear in a way that, well, Allah wouldn't become angry. He wouldn't become upset if you eat from this. The only thing is that he has created you as human beings. He doesn't want you to be transformed into angels. He wants you to die and then to be resurrected, probably. And he doesn't want you to become immortals. But if you become, it's up to you. It would not cause the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that immortality. Now, we come to the roots of all temptations of Shaitan. The idea of immortality. That human beings would like to live in this life. Because, of course, all of us are immortals. Any human being who comes to this world will be immortal. We are going to live forever. However, we live on different planes. We die from this plane, we go to another plane. We die from that plane, we go to another plane. What is the temptation of Shaitan is that he make us to believe that to be immortal on this earth is something good. And that is by aspirations, the wishes, long wishes. This is what Shaitan is the expert for, to give us long wishes, which is usually not attainable in one lifespan of a human being. And those wishes will make us to think that, to forget death. And when we forget death, we commit anything that Shaitan wants us to commit. This is what, of course, Shaitan is very expert in. So, how he tempted them, he said that this is the tree of immortality. Now, wrong assumptions have led to wrong explanations as well. Now, Shaykh Tusi rahmatullah alayhi in Tabian puts a question here, which the exegetes have tried to answer. If you say, how did Iblis reach Adam and Eve in paradise while Iblis is not allowed to enter paradise? And actually, before this, Iblis was expelled from heaven. Allah had told him, قَالَ اَحْبِتْ مِنْهَا فَمَا لَيْكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا Go down. So, how did he reach them? How did Shaitan manage to reach Adam and Hawa while he was outside the paradise and they were inside the paradise? Or why they were in heaven and he was on the earth because he was expelled previously from heaven. So, exegetes have tried to answer this. Qala al-Hasan, Hasan al-Basri, he says that he managed to tempt them from the earth while they were in heavens. So this waswasa could reach them from this very long way. And Abu Ali has said that Adam and Eve used to come out of heaven for some rest or something sometimes, and he reached them there. And Abu Bakr ibn al-Akhshid has said that Shaitan used to stand on the door of paradise and talk to them. So they usually used to come to the gate, and Shaitan communicated with them. Now, all of these assumptions are based on that wrong idea that we talked last week, that they thought that this garden was the paradise, which people go in Akhirah, and Shaitan cannot go there. Now, if we change the assumption, all these explanations will become unnecessary, because that was not paradise, that was not the Garden of Eden, so to speak. It was just a garden which Allah had created in a very special way, so Shaitan could go. And especially in this verse, when we say, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا أَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ, your Lord has not forbidden you from this tree, which shows that they were just beside the tree when Shaitan was talking to them, to tempt them. The second issue, which Sheikh Tusi brings up, is very interesting. He says that a group of Mu'tazili scholars have argued, based on this verse, that angels are superior to human beings. Otherwise, why should Adam want to become an angel? And not only human beings, but they are superior to prophets. Because Adam was a prophet, and he wanted to become an angel, and therefore this shows that prophets are superior, the angels are superior to prophets. Now, as I mentioned, the main quality which was important for Adam and Eve was immortality. They wanted to become immortal. And they saw this quality in angels, that they are immortal, at least for until the day of judgment, they are immortal. And therefore, they wish they become angels, not because of other qualities. Now, here Sheikh Tusi goes in a long way to explain that, no, of course, human beings, when they become prophets, they are superior to angels because they acquire their qualities by actions, while the angels have it inborn, and therefore they cannot be like human beings in their qualities. But we don't need all these things. We know that the angels were told to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, and therefore he was superior. What was important for him in angels was that immortality, which of course explicitly was mentioned by Shaitan. Are all human beings superior to angels? Certainly not. Some human beings are superior to Shaitan in their evil qualities, actually. So they exceed Shaitan in evilness. Therefore, we cannot say that because the angels prostrated to Adam, every human being is superior to angels. Human beings will become superior to angels if they obey God unconditionally. If they obey God unconditionally, they become superior to angels. And therefore, all the prophets, all the imams, they are superior to angels. Prophets and siddiqeen, nabiyeen and siddiqeen, they are superior to angels. And that's why angels would serve them and would serve the human beings in a sense. So these were the two issues which were mentioned. The next verse talks about the severity of temptation, that Shaitan spoke to Adam and Eve in a way that made them to believe that what he was suggesting is good and is not against the will of God. Now, if we say Shaitan made them to believe that it's not against the will of God, then the concept of sin will go away as well. They made to believe that this is not against the will of God. It is only something which God preferred that they wouldn't do. And this is what Shaitan said, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاسِحِينَ, and he swore to them, I am indeed your well-wisher. Now, in Tafsir al-Qumi, a very interesting hadith is mentioned. And Sheikh Tusi also mentions this in a different way in his tafsir, brings the same argument. And Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, says that when Adam and Eve were expelled from their garden, Jibreel came to them and said, didn't Allah create you by his own hand? That means without coming from father and a mother. And didn't he blow from his own spirits into you? And didn't he make angels to prostrate for you? And didn't he made you dwell in that garden? And didn't he allow you to eat anything that you wished from that garden except the tree? And didn't he very explicitly forbid you from eating from that tree? So why did you eat from it? Why? What happened? I mean, knowing all these things, what made you to eat and disobey God? فَقَالَ آدَمْ يَا جَبْرَعِيلُ. Adam said, إِنَّ إِبْلِيسْ حَلَفَ لِي بِاللَّهِ أَنَّهُ لِيَ نَاصِحٌ. Iblis swore to me that he was my nasih. Now, nasiha is to show good and to hide evil. This is nasiha. When this nasiha is, of course, wanting good, but making that swear that qasamahuma anni lakum ala min an-nasihin, he showed to them, he made to them to believe, he made them to believe that he wished well for them while he was hiding that evil. So they didn't know that this was a ghurur. Now, ghurur is what I mentioned. Ghurur is to show good and to hide evil. فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورًا. So, he said that he swore to us that he wishes well, and I never ever thought that someone, some creation of God, can swear to God and can tell lies. So, I thought that, well, the case is how Iblis says. And this is how I was deceived by that qasam. And this shows how original was the nature of Adam alayhi salam in the first place. That he never thought that it's possible to swear by Allah and tell lies. And why this qasam is mentioned here as well, qasamahuma inni lakuma lamina an-nasihin, is to show that how deceptive Shaitan was in his conversation with Adam and Eve. فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. Now, tadliya is to take something from above to the bottom. دَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ means he made them to come down. Now, come down either from obedience to ma'asiyah or from their garden to the earthly position. How did he do it? بِغُرُورٍ. As I said, غُرُور means to show good and to hide evil. This is how he did it. He had a hidden evil that he wanted them to disobey, and he showed that, yes, this is the tree of immortality, you can eat from it, and you become like angels. He showed good, he hid evil. One question: why did Adam want to become immortal? Now, if, for example, Adam wasn't wishing to become immortal, could Shaitan deceive him? No. Shaitan actually found the weak point, that Adam, when he was using all the bounties in that garden, then he wished that, is it possible that I live here forever? And as soon as Shaitan found the weak point, he started to use it. That's, okay, you want to become immortal? I show the way. This is the way to become immortal. And the question is, why our father wanted to live in that garden forever? The reason is exactly the same. Why do we want to live on this earth forever? Why are we hateful of death and going to our next plane? Now, Adam was justified because that was a beautiful garden. That was something in which there was no hardship. Everything was pleasant. We can somehow criticize ourselves that despite all the difficulties that we find on this earth, still we want to become immortal here, and still we want to live forever. This shows the nature of human beings, which is always afraid of moving from one situation to another situation. We think that this is the best place to live forever. We don't want to move to what Allah has promised us. Of course, Adam didn't have any doubt about the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Still, he wanted to be immortal. If we don't have any temptation in our souls, then shaitan can never ever reach us. And that is the meaning. فَوَعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ I would deceive everyone except Mukhlaseen. How did shaitan know that he couldn't deceive Mukhlaseen? Why did he originally excluded them? Because he didn't want to disprove himself later. Because he knew that there is no way. He knew that there is no temptation. That Mukhlaseen never have any temptation by which, never have any wishes, wrong wishes, by which, through which he could reach them and he could tempt them. So, دَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا As soon as they tasted the tree, their nakedness became exposed to them. The same thing that we said, لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا وَاتَّفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ They began to stitch over themselves with the leaves of paradise. They realized now that they had evil signs. They realized now there should be shame and all these things. And they started to cover themselves. And نَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا And the Lord called out to them, Did I not forbid you from that tree? Alam anhakuma antilkuma shajara. Now this shows as soon as they ate, because telka is now alluding to the far. As soon as they ate, as soon as they realized that they had to cover themselves, they became shameful of each other as well. And they just ran away from the tree. Probably any of them ran to one side. And this is why when they were expelled, or did that garden disappeared from them, they were on two different sides. The most frequent traditions say that when they came down from that garden, Adam was on Safa and Hawa was on Marwa, at least about 600, 700 meters away from each other. This shows they just ran away from each other. They didn't want to look at each other's eyes because of the shame. Of the shame of their nakedness, of the shame of what they did in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now they are not close to that tree. They just run away. And Allah says, Did I not forbid you from that tree? وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ And tell you, Shaitan is indeed your manifest enemy. Now, of course, Allah had showed Shaitan to them. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ When they entered paradise, Shaitan was made to appear to them. And Allah said, This is your enemy and the enemy of your wife. He would try to expel you from this garden. Now, did I not tell you Shaitan is your manifest enemy? Despite this exhortation by God, why did they listen? Probably what they forgot was this clause, that Shaitan was their enemy. Because we have in Surah Taha, وَلَقَدْ أَحِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ أَزْمَى We made a pledge to Adam, he forgot. He did not forget that eating from the tree was forbidden. Because when Shaitan tells them, eat from this tree, they know that they shouldn't eat. And then he starts to tell them that the forbidding quality. Why Allah has forbidden you is because you do not become angels. So they did not forget from the order. What they forgot was that Shaitan was their enemy. And this is what all of us forget in this world. All of us forget in this world. So, and some of us just denied the existence of any Shaitan, and some of us just very readily follow whatever he says. And this forgetfulness is something which has come to his progeny as well. So, did I not tell you that Shaitan is your manifest enemy? Yes, of course, but they forgot. Why they forgot? Because Shaitan swore to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that swearing, they just forgot that he was the enemy. They thought that he is telling the truth. Now, after this, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. They said, O Lord, we have wronged ourselves. If you do not forgive us and have mercy upon us, we will surely be among the losers. This is while still they were in the garden. Because then after that, Allah says, قَالَ بِتُو. Go down now from this garden. And inshallah, we will discuss these issues next week. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَيْهِ الطَّاهِرِ.
Thank you much indeed, Sheikh. Very interesting lecture today. Just one clarification. Can Iblis read our mind?
Yes, he read Adam's mind, didn't he? He knew that Adam was wishing to become immortal, and that's how he actually started to tempt him. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Any sisters or brothers? Yeah.
So, sorry, don't be very much fascinated by some people who can read our minds. They are not somehow exceeding Shaitan.
Yeah. The first question is a very simple one. The reference to a serpent, I believe, in the Christian's theology.
Yeah.
That he came in the guise of a serpent.
Yeah.
So is that found in the Quran, or is the shape-changing chameleon quality? Is also
no, there? No. Actually, there is no reference whatsoever to Shaitan changing face or whatever. And had Shaitan actually changed face, Adam and Eve had a justification before Allah, saying that, well, we didn't know that this was Shaitan. So, when Allah says, "Alam anhakuma an tilkuma shajara wa aqul lakuma anna shaytan lakuma aduwwun mubin," they could have said, okay, we didn't know that this was Shaitan. So that is something which is an extra addition probably. And this has actually crept into our traditions as well. But this is from Israeliyat.
I was just not too sure whether the shape-changing allures to and he appeared just like in the case of Musa, as in the glad tidings were given, and he appeared to the mother in the shape of a person. So there is reference to shape changing by the malaika, if you wish. I expected that to happen, and maybe that was an excuse for Adam to have made the mistake. The other thing is, as you take us through the last 3 weeks, if I was to replace the word jealousy, as in the good and the bad, so that one word jealousy, if I then apply that to all the three occasions, the first one was the kubur of Iblis, and the other one was the sending down of Adam, and then him going astray. And then it ends up with Innal Insana Lafi Khusr. So you are already in a situation. What my point was that jealousy only could be termed as the basis of all the problems that Adam had in the beginning, because Iblis was jealous of whatever it was coming. He thought that Adam was probably bigger than him. And then Adam wanted eternal life because he was jealous of the malaika. So, you know, I'm sort of explaining away everything under the evil root of jealousy. Am I right in doing that?
Well, Adam, probably we cannot say that he was jealous of malaika. But there was a quality there that he wished to have. Not that he wished malaika wouldn't have it. What Iblis actually did, he didn't want Adam to have those qualities. Adam was not like that. He just wanted to be immortal. And there is another, a deeper thing, root to even jealousy, and that's istikbar. That's arrogance. And Amirul Mu'mineen mentions in Nahjul Balagha that what actually caused Iblis to go down the route of destruction was his arrogance. He says, فَعَدُوُّ اللَّهِ إِمَامُ الْمُتَعَسِّبِينَ وسلف المستكبرين. He is the Imam of all Mutaassibin, which have prejudice for them, their own qualities, and the precursor of all Mustakbirin. And he says that anyone who have this Ta'assub and Istikbar is actually following Iblis in his qualities. So probably that's even the root, the deeper root for jealousy.
Thank you. Any sisters? Brothers, Riyaz?
Thank you very much indeed for your lecture. Lots to think about there. Sheikh, I just want to ask you, just going back to a point where you said about the relationship between the word sabwa and lam, and you said that if we take lam as the general meaning, if we take lam meaning so that, then sabwa takes the general meaning of.
Yeah.
But if we take lam as the eventuality, what does then sabwa mean?
That means, what happened was that their nakedness became exposed to them. Just the nakedness, yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other sisters? Brothers? No? Sheikh, I don't know whether I misheard you saying that human beings can become superior to shaitan. So does it mean that some of the acts that we might carry out, even the shaitan would not do them?
Yes, sometimes shaitan learns from us. Yes, of course. Some of us even are even cleverer than shaitan is.
Any other sisters, brothers? I think that's where you are thinking.
Don't tempt them. You just...
Was Iblis the only jinn? Was Iblis the only jinn who was created from fire, or there are others?
Well, all jinn are created from fire, and if Iblis was one of the jinn, which of course he mentions explicitly that you have created me out of fire. Then, of course, he's like all other jinns. And Allah mentions of creation of jinn, saying that waljanna khalaqnahu min qabl min nar as-samum. So that refers to the kind and species of jinn which is created of fire. So all jinn are created of fire.
Thank you. Another sister? Sheikh, the word forget, for example, even we even know, for example, that the shaitan is our enemy. So that doesn't mean that we are forgetful. We know, but we are not heeding to that advice, or we are careless. So the word forget, is it
no,
the correct translation?
No, we sometimes forget, actually. Yes, fanasiya means forgot. Sometimes we really forget. Of course, we don't see shaitan, but we forget that things which are forbidden for us are detrimental to our destiny. And we think that, no, they are good, actually. Like, for example, a person who steals, okay, he thinks that, well, he is going to make his future, and it's good for them to do that, and they do it. Or a person who actually realizes the jealousy inside themselves, they think that they are going doing something good. So they forget that these are these would cause evil for them. And this means that they forget that shaitan is the enemy.
Okay, so it's the consequences rather than the catalyst that starts the evil. The consequences is that the...
Anyhow, there is something that we forget. When we commit these sins, there's something that we forget. And that is the forgetfulness of shaitan.
Thanks for that. And sister,
Alaykum as-salam.
It seems that if you desire anything, be it anything, it could lead you to go in the wrong path. If you have a desire for...
If you have a wrong desire, of course.
But
any type of desire. For example, you desire to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example. You desire to serve other people. But when the selfishness comes in, even into these desires, then that's where shaitan can find a way to come in. I mean, you desire to serve the people, but a selfish sort of attitude is mixed with it. From that selfish attitude, shaitan comes in and it starts to destroy the whole plan.
But Hazrat Adam couldn't have had a selfish attitude towards becoming immortal. He must have also wanted to do that because he could see the angels were... He must have had the desire to do that with the desire of being closer to Allah.
Well, inshallah, you will be rewarded for this good justification you have for your forefather. But apparently, what good could have come out of this wish that to become immortal? Immortal in the sense that to live in that garden forever rather than moving from there to another plane and then to another plane. Yes, we may say this because Adam was a prophet, he wanted to obey the Lord and he wanted to obey there forever. But the way it is explained in the Quran is not that. It says that he just wanted to become immortal, to live more in that garden.
Well, then what confuses me is, wasn't he one of the mukhlaseen?
Yes, afterwards, as we explained before, this was all before we came to this earth. It was the first experience. Then after that, Allah accepted the repentance. He became one of the mukhlaseen, and then shaitan could not have any access to him later on.
Okay, Sheikh, I managed to persuade a few. Nizar.
Sheikh, on an everyday life activities, of course, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our actions. So we say quite often, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, before we start any action. Traditionally, reading the Quran, we start with A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Do you think on an everyday activity, we need to say that as well? I mean, how important is it to consciously keep shaitan out? Or shall we just ignore him?
It's good to be able to ignore him, provided, of course, ignoring his temptations as well, ignoring to act according to his temptations as well. But I think, yes, not only saying, we always should be aware that we need help of God to overcome the temptations of shaitan. I think there is one very lucid way of explaining things for ourselves. And that is wherever selfishness comes in any activity, then there is a possibility that shaitan would come there and from that door start to tempt us. If we close the doors of selfishness, then there is no way for shaitan. What we have to, because we don't see shaitan, certainly, and we cannot know when he is coming, when is he tempting, when he is not tempting. If in any activity selfishness comes in, of course not every selfish activity is haram, because there are many things that we do out of our own leisure and pleasure and these things. But we should know that this is where shaitan can find a very good arena for his activity. If you are aware of that, then inshallah, and by the help of God, we can somehow keep shaitan at a bay. Otherwise, of course, we are a toy in his hands.
Carry on a bit. So it is possible really to lead your days, weeks, months, not worrying about shaitan altogether. But is there a danger then that you might be forgetting yourself and your actions? Your self-analysis, you might not be aware that the shaitan is around you. And then I'm just thinking, how important is it that people around you, your spouse, your sibs, your friends, your community members, actually point out to you, look, this is satanic, what you're doing. Is there anything wrong about that, to actually, in a very friendly and subtle manner, to interact with people and say, look, I think you may not be realizing, but this is a satanic influence, be it selfishness, be it whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, actually, to advise each other all the time and to remind each other that we do not forget that shaitan is around. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. Of course, we have to do it in a way that, again, that's not a shaitanic temptation to encounter other people.
Thank you. I think I managed to read Riyadh's mind. So yes.
It's actually a follow-on. As he's saying that in daily life we have decisions to make. So I'm just giving you a hypothetical situation here. If I buy a sports car with two seats in it, so one for me and the wife, it could be because I don't want Shaitan to sit in the third seat. You see? Now,
or anyone else.
Well, this is it. I didn't say it. My niyat was that Shaitan wouldn't sit in the third seat. You see?
Yeah.
So there are ways of doing this. The thing again points to jealousy, doesn't it? Because if I buy that for me and my wife, somebody might see and say, oh, he's influenced by Shaitan because he bought a two-seater car. And he doesn't want anybody else to sit in his car. So it's like a trait which is selfish, is it not? You know, to wish for no more than two, if you know what I mean. Three is a crowd, as Adam found out, you know. Third one was Shaitan, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Well, Shaitan doesn't need a seat in the car. I mean, he sits on the heart rather than on another seat. But as I said, not everything that we do for ourselves, out of our selfish leisures, is forbidden. What is forbidden is a selfishness which leads to disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes out of arrogance and leads to disobedience. So we should not confuse here, because if we confuse, then we become like the monks and for example, the Christian monks who used to abandon completely everything in the world to keep away from that selfish desire. We have to be balanced. And when we say that we should not let selfishness to come into our decisions, we should know what sort of selfishness is allowed, what sort of selfishness is not allowed. And certainly anything which comes out of jealousy, comes out of arrogance, and these things is not allowed. Anything apart from that is allowed.
Sheikh, any other sisters, brothers? Sheikh, I don't know whether we have covered that or not, but if we have, then just say yes, then I'll listen to the lectures to refresh my memory. But if we haven't, then perhaps we may cover it in future one. Is that? Have you discussed whether this was a physical tree or some other tree mentioned? It doesn't. The tree here, which is is mentioned.
You mean it's a metaphorical?
Yeah, metaphorical story. Something.
Some people have said that this is a metaphorical story to represent the nature of human being, but. Well, it means lots and lots of ta'wil in the Quran, unnecessary ta'wil. And I think because this story has been mentioned in the Bible, in the Quran, details of it are mentioned. It's about a specific people, Adam and Eve. So we don't need to go into that ta'wil and interpretation. Yes, it was an actual tree. This was an actual situation. an actual temptation, and Allah mentions this story not to disgrace Adam alayhi salam and Eve, but to teach us something, which of course the lessons will come in Surah A'raf, inshallah.
So in short, we can actually take it that it was a physical tree, and not something else, and because some ulama sometimes describe it as a tree of knowledge, which had good knowledge, bad knowledge, whatever. Is that?
Yeah, yes. It's not something that we can know, actually. And tree of knowledge, we discussed last week, probably, or the week before, that it cannot be tree of knowledge, because Adam was taught all knowledge before that. So he couldn't have the desire to learn more knowledge.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dr. Any other last one? Can I tempt anyone? Last one, no? Okay, Muhammad Wa Ali, Muhammad Salah. Thank you very much, Inshallah.